You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg Podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
We've been all over the map today. We talked a little bit about everything over the last few hours. Still got to get to some more stuff as well. But once upon a time, we began the show talking about the baseball story from the weekend. Good for the Yankees, not so good for the Mets. And this portion of the show driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. Not a good road trip for the Metropolitans. They go out to Chicago, lose 2-3 against the bad Cubs team that got swept by the Reds this weekend, by the way, at home. And then they go to Colorado and lose 2-3 to a last place Rockies team. And so 54 games into the season, what are the Mets? Mets are an average team. Nothing more, nothing less. 27 up, 27 down. They seem to think that they're going to get it together. They still have a lot of opportunity to do so because there's more than 100 games still to play. But they got to get this pitching staff straightened out because their pitching right now is horrible. You know, how many more times do you want to sit there and watch a Tyler McGill start where he's going to lose it as soon as you hit the batting order second time through? You know, Senga has not exactly been as advertised. You know, Carlos Carrasco, it's one good start, one bad start. It's the two guys at the top, the two Hall of Famers, that you're putting a lot of stock into. And Scherzer's been good the last few times out. So you hope that he's starting to find things after that little bit of a neck issue that plagued him a little bit. Verlander got hit around pretty good on Saturday out there in Colorado. Go figure too, right? Because going into that series, right, you got Scherzer and Verlander lined up the first two games. And you're thinking, all right, Mets are going to do what they're supposed to do against a bad team. Scherzer historically has been terrible at Coors Field. He had like a career ERA of over 6 in that ballpark. Goes out there and he pitches a gem. Verlander, on the other hand, had pitched great at Coors Field throughout his career, even though it was a smaller sample size. And he goes out there and they hit him around like he's throwing batting practice. Go figure it out. That's baseball. But, you know, this Met team, as they make the way into June, where the schedule gets a lot tougher, you know, the cupcakes that were on there in the month of May that they struggled against are not going to be littering the schedule for the next month. So how are they going to be able to save face here? Now, it's easy to just say, well, you know, we've seen precedent. We've seen other teams do it in the past. Atlanta last summer, for example. You know, the Braves were 23-27, and then they won 14 consecutive games and en route to winning 101, tracking down the Mets for that National League East title, which they won on the tiebreaker. I don't know if history is going to repeat itself, you know, because I don't think there's anybody riding in here that's going to save the Mets season. It's on those guys in the clubhouse, and they have to be better. And we talked about the pitching, which has been a huge disappointment right now. You got guys in that lineup that aren't hitting that you expect more from. Marte, of course, who was an all-star last year and was so instrumental for that offense. He needs to be more consistent. And some of these other guys have become like automatic outs at the bottom of this order. You know, Canna had opportunities in Colorado with guys on base to maybe, you know, get a big hit or two there. Couldn't get the job done. You know, Alvarez is somebody who's, you know, blossoming before our eyes. And he looks like he's going to be, you know, a star in the making, which is one glimmer of positivity, which you take with you now into the next stretch of games. But he needs help. You know, he can't do it by himself. You know, Nimmo's been great. Alvarez has been swinging a hot bat. Alonso's hitting home runs. You know, but McNeil's even been inconsistent. This is a guy who's a batting champion, for crying out loud. I don't think that there is enough, you know, moves or a big move to be made, you know, swinging a trade with some other team that's going to alter this season in any way, shape, or form, right? I mean, your payroll's $360 million. The answers are supposed to be in that clubhouse, and that's what's the most frustrating thing about what you've seen from the Mets. 54 games into the season, the Mets are the epitome of an average baseball team. Nothing more and nothing less. Yankees, on the other hand, you know, the record looks a little bit gaudier, right? They're playing better baseball than the Mets are. You know, they're 9 games over .500. But what the Yankees have been able to do, as opposed to the Mets, is that they feasted on the bad teams. You know, they're beating the teams that they're supposed to. They're 14-4 this year against teams with a losing record. And that has allowed them to kind of fatten up the record a little bit. But even in winning games, I mean, the Yankees have some things they have to tidy up a little bit, right? I mean, Gerrit Cole, all right, he's 6-0, but Gerrit Cole has been vulnerable last few times out. Even yesterday, the ball is leaving the yard, and he's, you know, prone to giving up the home run, which scares you a little bit. You know, the offense, even though it wasn't necessarily the case in yesterday's game, but they rely a heck of a lot on the home run. Only Tampa Bay has hit more than the Yankees, and you just wonder if you're a fan later on down the road as you get to October, is it going to be the same fate that ends up, you know, that this team has to deal with again that we've seen for the better part of the last decade plus, right? I mean, and the injured players, are they going to make an appearance? You know, is Carlos Rodon going to throw a pitch for the Yankees at some point this year? This is a guy that they're paying a lot of money to. This is a guy that was expected to be, you know, like the 1A to Gerrit Cole. I was excited about this Yankee rotation going into the season with the addition of a Rodon, that you expected him to be somebody that was going to go out there and really deliver a 1-2 punch with Cole that a lot of teams in baseball maybe don't necessarily have. And it hasn't happened yet. And all you keep hearing about is he could return here, he could return there, he could make his... I mean, show me the results, right? Just show me. I'm tired of hearing about maybe... it's got to be so frustrating with these injuries. But they're winning games. But they're going out on the West Coast now. You're going to Seattle. You're going to take on the Dodgers. It's not going to be an easy trip. You hope for the best, and you see if you could come out, you know, breaking even, if you will, in the games that you have out there starting tonight out there in the Emerald City. So that's the baseball situation. Big Game 7 in the NBA tonight with the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. A thriller on Saturday with, you know, just the momentum and the emotional swift that that game experienced just in the final seconds of the game. Butler hits the 3 free throws, and you're thinking that, you know, Miami's going to get out of there alive, and they're going to go to the NBA Finals, and then the Celtics, you know, get the most fortuitous bounce of all time on the smart miss 3 ball, and White's able to put it back up off the backboard and in with a 10th of a second remaining, and the Celtics get this one back to a Game 7 tonight in their home gym against Miami. And we talked about it earlier in the show. There's pressure on both sides tonight, right? If you're Miami, the pressure exists because you don't want to be the first team in NBA history to blow a 3-0 series lead. That goes without saying. And if you're Boston, you know, you've done all the heavy lifting. You've won 3 consecutive games. You've gotten it to this point now, to where now the momentum is in your favor. And you are once again the favorite in this series, because you got the game in your building, which is what anybody would sign up for at the beginning of the season. If he said, hey, would you take Game 7 of the conference finals at home? Anybody would sign up for that. And so the Celtics are expected to win this game tonight, and especially Miami, who suffered just a gut-punching loss, ripped-your-heart-out type of a loss on Saturday. How do they get up off the mat and try to win a basketball game tonight? It's the beauty of sports. Maybe we'll be surprised. But while there's pressure on both sides, we talked about it earlier, I still think the pressure solely rests with the Miami Heat. All right? Because they are now 48 minutes away from becoming history. History for all the wrong reasons. You are the first team that this is ever going to happen to. Just like when you think about it in baseball, you're going to think about the Yankees till the end of time. Hockey, it's happened a few times. Basketball, it hasn't happened yet. It could happen tonight if the Celtics defend their home court. 800-919-ESPN, 800-919-3776. That is the telephone number. So a lot of things to get to, a lot of things on the agenda. Good for this Memorial Day holiday here to have some sports that can entertain us in addition to all the other things on this beautiful weather day, too. It's been spectacular the last couple of days. Let's go to the phone. Say hi to our good buddy Mitch in East Windsor to start us off here in this final hour. Mitch, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Dan. Happy holidays.
Same to you, Mitch.
Thanks for, Thank you for all the vets who served. Can't be with us.
Absolutely.
DeAndre Hopkins, I think the Giants make the most case. I'd love to see him go with my Chargers. And I love these I don't like the system, especially in, you know, football and in basketball. San Antonio's not going to trade their first-round pick for anything. And neither is whoever gets the first-round pick for Cal Williams. And I bet you it's going to be the Cardinals. Goodbye, Mr. Murray. I was reading something about how can Vegas get Cal Williams. They can trade half the team and half the Las Vegas Strip. The team's not giving up on Cal Williams, and they're not going to give up that pick. I don't like the
Who's Calvin Williams? Who are you talking about?
Caleb Williams. I'm sorry.
Oh, Caleb Williams. I'm sorry. Okay, the kid from SC. Okay.
All right. Thanks for correcting me. I stand corrected.
It's all good, Mitch. I thought you were saying Calvin Williams, like the old wide receiver from the Philadelphia Eagles back in the day.
No, he did. He was fully invested, 10 years and out, especially when you play for the Lions. But they should work on the system. It still favors tanking. You should be spinning somehow. It still favors losing. And why should these great players, I'm assuming he's going to be great, Caleb Williams, I know he's going to be, he reminds you of Mahomes. I mean, that's a lot to shoot for. But it punishes these players to be on lousy teams for the first 4 or 5 years of their career.
You know what it is, though, Mitch, and I thank you for the phone call there. There was a lot going on with that call. My head was spinning there a little bit. It's been a long day.
It's Caleb Williams.
I don't know. I thought he was saying Calvin.
It sounded like
I remember the Eagles receivers from the early 90s, yeah. Fred Barnett and Calvin Williams? That's what I thought he was talking
Quite
about.
Quite a squad.
Yeah.
Prior to Irving Fryer and them boys.
Oh, yeah, Irving Fryer. That's right. Came after. Yeah. But how about at SC, too? The AD out. AD gone.
Weird goings on.
There's a lot going on there. I mean, very, very strange situation. Tanking, though, look, Jacksonville clearly tanked. Once they realized, you know, once the Jets won a couple of games in 2020, there was like, there's no reason for us to win another game the rest of the way because we're going to get Trevor Lawrence. It was a disaster for them in 2021 because Urban Meyer was there and he didn't know what the hell he was doing. Things finally turned around for them when they actually got somebody who knew how to coach a team in Doug Peterson, and that's when he started to see the best out of Trevor Lawrence. They made the playoffs last year. They won a playoff game and also took the Chargers to choke it away. But tanking works if you have smart people in your organization to be able to capitalize on it. Like what's going on in Arizona right now, and, you know, they just get rid of DeAndre Hopkins for nothing because they don't plan on winning this year. That's great. Barring you're confident that you have the right head coach. And with the guy they just hired, I'm not 100% convinced that this thing is going to turn around. And not to mention the fact that I think that Kyler Murray is the wrong guy to have leading your football team. There's a lot of issues going on with them right now. So I think it has to be the perfect scenario to where you have your front office structure, you got your coaching staff lined up, now go get the player which you think is going to transform the franchise. Like in the NBA. All right, teams were tanking down the stretch to be able to get Victor Wembanyama. San Antonio gets him. Great. San Antonio's an organization that has a history of winning. When Popovich has good players, now he has himself the next generational type player. How much longer before San Antonio's able to build a winner again? Another year or two, probably? I don't know if it happens in year one, but it might. You never know. Also, when you tank, guys, you better be doing it for the right guy. You can't just tank for anybody.
Yama, 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 yama.
Tremendous. Classic.
That's Dave Rothenberg doing his police academy.
Police Academy 4, right?
4, I believe, yeah.
Citizens on Patrol. That's a movie, Ray. If it comes on the TV,
you'll drop everything for Police Academy 4.
I don't know if I'll drop everything
specifically for Police Academy 4.
You know what it is? That's the type of movie that, and there's a lot like this. You stick with it for a few minutes, and then a few minutes becomes 20 minutes. And then 20 minutes becomes a half hour, and then before you know it, you've invested a half an hour and you're basically like, "Well, I might as well finish the damn thing out, right? I'm here. I've already watched this much. I can't look away now." So maybe that's how that goes into that category. Subi's in Midtown. He's up next here on 98.7 ESPN. Subi, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Dan, you were talking about the Yankees, and for me, it's always been the chain of command. I think everyone in that stadium is protecting themselves, and then they're protecting each other, the ownership, players, GM, even like Randy Levine at one point. But it's mainly down to the players, as we know. Mm-hmm. They got, you know, some hidden gems. They had Gio Urshela, and he's not playing that poorly. And, you know, I just feel like they're always going after a name, and the Rays, like in an inevitable playoff matchup, just imagine if the Rays would sweep the Yankees and, like, just blow them out. You know, and, like, that Randy guy goes all out, hits 300, five home runs. What would that say to this current regime? It would just be embarrassing at this point because it's not been, like, 1 or 2 years. It's been, like, 3-4 consecutive years where they're just playing the Rays and getting pretty much beat every single time. That's all I got to say.
Well, I mean, look, Subi, the Rays are the outlier. Okay, not every organization in baseball, even if you have money, don't have money, are going to be able to duplicate what the Rays do. Right? Now, look, Rays have kind of come back to the pack just a little bit because they've lost a couple of starting pitchers to the IL. Right? Fleming, Rasmussen, those guys are down. Now, they got Glasnow back. Glasnow made his season debut on Saturday. That dude has Cy Young-capable stuff. But it's going to take him a few starts to get going a little bit here. Between him, between McClanahan, guess what? I'll take that 1-2 over anybody that the Yankees are going to pair with Gerrit Cole as far as in a 7-game series come October. If those guys are healthy, Glasnow, McClanahan, good luck. Look, what surprised me about the Rays is that the way they're slugging the ball offensively to the extent they did and the extent that they are right now. You know, scored the most runs, hit the most home runs, you name it. That's maybe a little bit of a surprising feat. You know, Yandy Diaz is having himself an incredible start to the season. Rays just get it. You know, they get it. They're a very smart organization. That's why you look around baseball, how many guys who are currently running other organizations came from that Tampa Bay Rays school, right, and grew up in that organization. Chaim Bloom, who's the architect of the Red Sox now. Of course, Andrew Friedman out with the Dodgers, who came from the Tampa Bay Rays. And I mean, on and on. It's all over the place. All over the place. Because they just do it right. Now, selfishly, they'd love to have some more financial wherewithal to be able to have at their disposal. But for the model in which they have to go about doing things, they've perfected it. But you also don't want to fall into a trap and say, oh, we're going to do it this way because the Rays do it. You might not have the same success. All right. It is time for a couple of things here that maybe we, you know, glanced over. We've been doing a lot of talking, Ray, right? But we don't hit everything, so I'm going to turn things over to you.
For now. See ya!
Bang! Touchdown!
Rebound score!
The shit you missed.
And it's a Memorial Day edition of Sim. First of all, we got a big Game 7 on tap tonight.
Huge.
8 o'clock on 98.7 ESPN. You can listen to coverage of Boston-Miami Game 7. Speaking of that, you spoke a lot about Game 6 today. The extensive last two-minute report from the chaotic final moments of that game. A heart-stopping Celtics 104-103 victory. It revealed two missed calls, both which went against Boston. While saying there were no issues with the foul on Jimmy Butler with 3 seconds remaining. The league's report was issued last night, said the officials missed two things among 32 that were reviewed from the final 120 seconds of the game. Ultimately, no issues with the foul call against Al Horford on Jimmy Butler's three-point attempt, the play at the center of which much of the discussion of the aftermath of Boston's thrilling win. Originally, referee Josh Tiven called the foul on Horford with 2.1 seconds remaining and ruled it a two-shot foul. However, in that situation, the league automatically would have reviewed the play to see whether or not it was going to be a two- or three-shot foul.
These last two-minute reports, to me, they're a lot of nonsense, to be honest with you. Like, how many times, like, I don't find myself very often throughout the season, the playoffs, you name it, like, really obsessing over those last two-minute reports. Even in this one. I mean, it's not going to go back and it's no different. Like, it's not going to go back and change the outcome of these games. Right? It is what
it is. It's not. It's out there, but at least it gives people something to point to. It's like, oh, you see, my team was screwed.
Right. It's the conspiracy theory.
Exactly.
And like I said a little bit earlier, when it comes down to the end of that game on Saturday, and the fact that some people feel that just enough time was put on the clock for the Celtics to be able to execute a play which ultimately won them the game. Remember, Kenny Smith said it after the game on the TNT postgame. The time that you see on the little score bug there on television that the networks use is not the official time that is being kept at the scores table. They may not match up. So they got that correct in putting 3 seconds on the clock for the Celtics to get that last possession.
See, the league says everything is fine. One thing the league says is not fine, it's involving one of its officials, it's opened an investigation into longtime referee Eric Lewis involving a Twitter account that responded to numerous posts on league officiating and defended Lewis and other NBA referees. League sources confirmed to ESPN the account in question, which has since been deleted, was listed under a username Blair Cutliff with the handle at Cutliff Blair. At potential issue is a league rule against referees commenting on officiating publicly without authorization. If it can be proven Lewis was making such statements, it's possible he could face discipline. He's in his 19th season as a referee, has officiated more than 1,100 games, 82 playoff games, and in recent years won one of the NBA's highest-rated officials assigned to 6 finals games since 2019. He last worked Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals between the Nuggets and Lakers.
Now, why would you do something like that? Like you said, 19 years. Why would you even get yourself in, potentially, think you're trying to pull a fast one over on somebody. Like, why would you think this was something that you could maybe get?
Well, I'll say this. The account, before it went dark, did tweet something that basically amounted to, I'm not Eric, I'm his brother, or something to that effect.
And don't you think that opens an entire can of worms just in the fact you're going to present it that way?
Right.
I mean, come on, people.
Doesn't look good.
Why even bring up the name? You're just going to make people think a certain thing.
Well, that was when the Sharks were already circling. So at that point, it was like...
blood in the water?
Yeah, so at that point. I mean, it wasn't smart, to your point. It wasn't smart, but it was trying to save face. We'll move a little NFL action.
And real quick, I mean, this is... the NBA, as anybody knows, that is the league which is probably most associated with its players to burner accounts. Yay or nay?
Oh, without a doubt.
I mean,
you think burner accounts in sports, what do you think of? KD. That's the first one that comes to mind.
It ain't the PGA Tour, I can tell you that.
What was the the GM in Philadelphia a few years ago that his wife had a Twitter account or something?
Yes.
It went down. It may have been Colangelo, wouldn't it?
It was Colangelo.
Yeah.
Correct.
Rough.
Brian.
Yikes. Jimmy G. You've been following this situation?
Oh, absolutely.
And added addendum to his contract with the Vegas Raiders has a waiver that takes place with the quarterback taking a physical. According to a copy of the deal obtained by multiple outlets, the waiver addresses the foot injury that a source said Garoppolo underwent surgery for shortly after he signed his 3-year, $72.75 million contract with the Raiders back in March. The provision titled Addendum G was initially reported by Pro Football Talk. And according to Pro Football Talk, the Raiders could terminate Garoppolo's contract for any reason related to the waiver, and that Garoppolo will not be paid any of his $22.5 million base salary for the 2023 season until he passes a physical. The waiver is voided if Jimmy remains with the Raiders for 2 days after their final game of the season.
Let's rewind.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Let's rewind. Once upon a time, you remember when we discussed all the potential quarterback options for the Jets? And for a while, it looked like maybe all roads were going to lead to Jimmy G. That's how it was looking. Because, like, you know, did they really think they'd be able to get Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to come here, right? Derek Carr signed someplace else. He went to the Saints. It looked like that might be the most realistic option. You would have to sign him in free agency. You talk about potentially dodging a bullet. For like one of the few times in the history of the franchise, if you're the Jets, you might have dodged a bullet here. When you get, you know, the Raiders sign damaged goods and a guy who can't stay healthy to begin with, and now before he even takes his first snap with the team, and he was damn close to he failed the physical, right?
Hasn't taken the physical.
Hasn't taken because he can't even pass it. That's why. Because he can't even pass
it. And for the record, he's not performed at OTAs. Josh McDaniels, everyone's favorite coach, says there are no surprises in the quarterback's process in Vegas. For what it's worth, veteran quarterback Brian Hoyer, remember him, is working with the first-team offense.
Oh, my gosh.
The Raiders also have Aiden O'Connell, who they drafted in the fourth round out of Purdue. and somebody named Chase Garbers on their roster.
Now, do they have somebody in their ownership group who has any football quarterbacking experience?
Oh, I see what you're getting at.
Do they? I don't know. I haven't seen the roster.
No, I can't possibly be seeing Tom Brady come downstairs for the Raiders. Not for that.
Well, the league would have to vote on that, by the way.
Oh.
You realize that? That if, like, again, not too many teams have, you know, people in ownership that are capable of playing professional football. But in this case, if something like that were to happen, and it's still probably a pipe dream, the league would have to vote on it. So if you are a team, let's say, in that division, if you're the Chargers, if you're the Broncos, even the Chiefs, would you give thumbs up to allow Brady to play, knowing that it'll probably make the Raiders a little bit better than they would be if, let's say, Brian Hoyer was the quarterback?
You bring up an interesting point.
Right.
The former Raiders quarterback, and another one that you mentioned the Jets had been interested in for a while, he's down in New Orleans. Derek Carr had a familiar hand helping him this past week. Former Raider coach John Gruden. That's right. The Saints brought in Gruden to help Carr and the offensive coaching staff under coach Dennis Allen. With the Raiders, Carr ran the West Coast offense installed by Gruden during the latter tenure as coach from 2018 through the first five games of 2021. We know what happened there. The Saints' version of the West Coast offense is an offshoot of the one Sean Payton used to run when he was head coach, which works out pretty well because Sean Payton and John Gruden, where do they go back to?
Yeah.
1997 with the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's right. Same coaching staff. That was a Ray Rhodes vehicle,
yes,
right?
Yes, very nice. Domingo Germán. He remains suspended 10 games for using a foreign substance on the mound. He returns to the Yankee rotation today in Seattle. And he has been quoted as saying, "You have to do something different because what I did before got me ejected from the game. Probably go back to previous years before I used it way less." It being the rosin, which got him tagged for the last.
Hey, Domingo, you know what it is? Let's make it nice and simple for you. Wash your hands. Just wash your hands, buddy. You know? Every time you come off the field into the dugout, wash your hands and don't load up as much on the sticky stuff. Simple as that. Well, thank you, Raymond. Some good stuff you missed there. Appreciate that.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Dan Grasso in for the guys here on this Memorial Day. 800-919-3776. That is the telephone number. All right, I don't know if you guys saw this. So, apparently, the powers that be out in La La Land are making another sports bio movie. Did you see this, Ray?
I did not. What do we got?
Okay, good. So, you didn't see this. So, next one is in development. Of a legendary, iconic sports figure. And apparently they've zeroed in on the guy that they want to play him in the movie. Now, I'll tell you that the subject is none other than the late, great John Madden. They're going to make a John Madden biopic.
Okay.
Okay. Let me ask you, who do you think would be someone that would do a good job depicting him in a film?
See, it's tough because John Madden was a big guy.
Big guy.
You know, even in his youth, he was a large man.
Right, he's so a lineman, like, played line.
So, yeah. Like, and this, see, the type of actor that would come to mind is probably too old to play Madden, but I would like somebody like in the John Goodman type of, like,
see,
physique.
They brought his name up over the weekend, but I don't know if you've seen John Goodman lately. Like you said, he's getting up there. And he's slimmed down.
Really?
John Goodman doesn't look like John Goodman anymore.
Okay, that's troubling,
yeah,
actually.
He is not that guy anymore. Good for him. Maybe, you know, he's in better shape, whatever. But he's not that guy anymore that's going to play somebody of that ilk. Okay? Tom, do you have a guess by any chance? Is there someone that you think maybe would fit the John Madden mold?
See, John C. Reilly, I feel like, would fit the mold here.
That's another good one.
I do know where you're going with this, though.
See, so Tom knows.
I'm already in on it.
Okay, he's in on it.
It's not along those veins, is it?
It is an associate of John C. Reilly.
It's not Will Ferrell.
It is Will Ferrell.
You gotta be kidding me. How is Will Ferrell? Well, wait a minute.
Yeah. I don't see it.
I'm trying to make it work.
I'm trying
to make it work.
This is Philip Seymour Hoffman playing Art Howe. This is, I mean, I don't care what type of makeup, what type of, you know, bodysuit, whatever you want to say. I just can't. And Will Ferrell's extremely talented, as we know.
You're crazy, man.
You're crazy. I can't see it. You know why? Because I'm trying to think, and this is what all great actors have the ability to do. Despite them being known for a particular role or two.
I'm kind of a big deal. People know me.
If they take a role where they completely transform themselves as somebody else, like, you don't think of them any longer as what they're known for. Right? Like, that's the job of a great actor. Like, I don't know, has Will Ferrell done anything to where you look at him and you say, that's not the funny man? Or you think something that he did previously in one of the comedies and you start laughing.
Like, is there supposed to be an element of funny to this?
It can't be. And you know, I'm thinking, and then, because it was football, and it reminded me of the whole Kevin James, Sean Payton Netflix disaster. Like, do they want this to be legitimate? Like, is it supposed to be a serious film? Like, are they going to be, like, trophy chasing with this movie? To where they think this is going to be like Will Ferrell's breakthrough to, like, the Academy Awards? Is that what this is supposed to be?
And this is going to be, like, on the silver screen. This will be in theaters.
So I've been told. That's what they're reporting. But here's the other part. Like you said, is this going to be, like, a comprehensive John Madden biopic? Are we going to trace his years from when he was a young head coach with the Raiders to then when he became the broadcasting giant and the video game, you know, magnate or whatever? Or is this just going to be like one particular part of his life?
And there's an entire multiple generations of people that don't know that John Madden was even a football coach.
A damn good football coach, too. A guy who, let's be honest, that's another one of those that maybe the Hall of Fame got wrong. You know, like, he quit early. Kind of at the top of his game. But his winning percentage is right up there with, like, any great coach. He probably should have been in the Hall of Fame as a head coach a lot sooner.
And what do you know who's behind this? Like, who's the big brain behind this?
David O. Russell is the director. Screenwriter, director.
I'm just thinking about, you remember the Lakers the Winning Time, was it?
I actually thought that was okay.
It was okay.
On HBO.
But that was the Adam McKay vehicle, right?
Correct.
And he had that very long friendship with Will Ferrell that I think broke up because of that, because he cast John C. Reilly, the aforementioned John C. Reilly, as Jerry Buss instead of Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell wanted to be Jerry Buss.
I didn't know that.
I think that led to a falling out between them.
And I thought John C. Reilly was outstanding in that. series.
I think Will Ferrell really wanted to be Jerry Buss.
I can't see Will Ferrell as Jerry Buss, though. I didn't know that they had a falling out. Well, the other thing, too, is remember Adam McKay, who went in on all those comedies and stuff with Will Ferrell. Then Adam McKay started doing, like, serious movies. You know, and then, like, was getting recognized for, like, awards and stuff. I can't, off the top of my head, I don't have any, but he did, like,
I think he did Vice with the movie about Dick Cheney. I think that may have been his.
You're right about that. There was another one with, I know, it's a simple Google search, actually. But no, he started, like, branching off into that, and maybe that's why I thought that, all right, he wanted to go in a different direction creatively. But yeah, like, what are they, what's the timeline we're looking at? You know, is it going to be the coach, the broadcaster, both? I just can't see Will Ferrell doing the John Madden voice. That's the other part of this. Right?
Well, who are you going to get in there, Frank Caliendo?
I mean, that's the crazy part. Like, he's the guy that would pull it off, except you can't watch Caliendo because all you do is laugh thinking about the impersonations.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
This is troubling, actually. This is going to take a while to process.
Let me tell you, when I saw that the other day, like when I saw the story was being reported, I said, this has got to be a joke, right? It's got to be a joke. But now it's legit. What do you think? 2 years from now, like during award season, that's the big, the John Madden movie?
You know, he may blow us all away. You know, like you didn't think of Adam Sandler as a guy who'd play some serious roles, but he's nailed a couple here. So who knows?
Yeah, but Adam Sandler, though, was never asked to play, like, a real-life figure.
That is very true.
You know
what
I'm saying?
That is very true.
Who are they going to cast as Pat Summerall?
That's a great question. There's a lot that needs to be
Paul Rudd?
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd is Pat Summerall and Will Ferrell is John Madden? Get, like, the Anchorman team back together?
I'm going to go home and watch, like, the old highlights, old AFC-NFC championship games.
I'm telling you, something's got to give. Let's say hi to our buddy Anthony in the mail truck. He's up next here on 98.7. Anthony, good morning. How are you?
Dan, good morning. Happy Memorial Day to all. And big shout out to the company. And I'm not going to use Ray's overuse phrase, but Ray, you said it best last year. And you don't get enough credit for it. So thank you for that. On a serious note, seriously, Memorial Day is honestly, it's one of the best holidays that we have. Just for the sole fact that, you know, you remember those who didn't make it back and who really truly, you know, fought for everything that we do on a daily basis and the reason why we're able to put our feet on the ground every day.
Absolutely.
So thank you to all the 100%. Veterans out there and to those who didn't make it back. You know, we salute you and we thank you for your service. Now, a weird transition that I'm going to do here to football. I have a Cuddle Marry Trash for you, if you don't mind, Dan.
Oh, wow.
Being that you're not going to be on the show for the rest of the week, so you're going to miss it.
Little CMT action. So, all right.
Yeah, a little CMT. So who is DeAndre Hopkins' next team? Now, I'm going to take my Cowboys out of it because I thought about it, and I was like, I don't want to really be a homer. So I'm going to give you three teams that, really, realistically, I could see him going to. Two of them, you know, more viable than the other one. So, Cuddle Marry Trash for me, the Lions, the Chiefs, and the Bills.
Marry Kansas City, because that's where I think he's going. Cuddle the Buffalo Bills, because this is their window, clearly. And I think that they're going to try to do whatever is necessary. Plus, I still think that that is a situation that would appeal more to DeAndre Hopkins. And then trash would be Detroit because, and if I can use a Detroit joke, it's probably a bad one, but I'll use it anyway. I don't think the odds are that good for the Lions to get DeAndre Hopkins. See what I did? I tied in gambling with the Lions because they like to gamble.
Yes. Well, Dan, listen, you have a great, great rest of your day. I did have a point on Aaron Rodgers. I just wanted to say that I feel like, you know, he will fit like a glove with New York, and I feel like he was and is the best option that you guys had, and I'll be pulling for you all year, man. Have a great day, fellas.
Anthony, same to you. Appreciate it. Look, will fit like a glove? I think Aaron Rodgers is already fitting in pretty darn good, if you ask me. right? It's like you would think that Aaron Rodgers has been here for the last 15 years, making himself right at home. I think that he will have no problem. No problem, especially even when the season starts. Whether it's dealing with the media, going out there and getting his job done on the field, he'll be more than fine.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Let's say hi to Charles in Brooklyn, who's up next here on 98.7. What's up, Chuck? How are you?
Good morning, Dan. How you feel?
Good. I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm all right, man. Listen, I just wanted to make a statement that, you know, all this DeAndre Hopkins talk going on with the Jets.
Yeah.
That'd be a nice addition. But the guy we need to go get from the Cardinals is Buda Baker. We don't have a safety there.
First of all, I like Chuck Clark. He was a nice pickup. The problem is that Chuck Clark is a guy who has a lot of the same traits as Jordan Whitehead does. And if they're planning on lining those two guys up on the field regularly, like I said, they both kind of do a lot of the same things. Jets don't have a true free safety. That's their problem right now.
Right. And then if he's available, if Buda Baker, we would acquire him, I think the Jets will have the best defense in the NFL with him.
I like Buda. I like him a lot. He's making a lot of money. He's making a lot of money right now. Here's the thing. Arizona, they're stripping this thing down. It's only a matter of time before Buda's an ex-Cardinal. I just don't know if it happens this year, if you know what I mean. But he's a hell of a player. Buda Baker's a great player. And you know what? I would agree with what Charles said. I don't think DeAndre Hopkins is in need for the Jets. DeAndre Hopkins represents a luxury. I don't think it's going to happen either. I mean, for finance reasons and so on and so forth. If we're talking Jets-Giants need DeAndre Hopkins more than the Jets do. Because the Giants are still looking for that game-breaker, home run, you know, number one type of wide receiver. They've got a nice little collection of wideouts, but nothing close to a guy like DeAndre Hopkins. Let's say hi to Floyd in Harlem, up next here on 98.7. Floyd, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I'd like to tell you, I'm continue from yesterday when you were talking about buzzer beaters.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear anybody mention, I'm not sure if they did, but I didn't hear anybody mention the year the Knicks played Reggie Miller and them, and he hit a three-pointer. And they stole the ball. He turned around and hit another three-pointer at the buzzer and looked at Spike Lee and gave the chokehold. And Robert Horry was a specialist at buzzer beaters.
Well, I mean, technically, Floyd, Reggie Miller's, and I thank you for the phone call. I mean, unfortunately,
do we need to be reminded of that?
Unfortunately, I don't think you need any reminding of it. Yeah, that wasn't a true buzzer beater. You know what I mean? It was just an incredible amount of points in a short amount of time. It was,
A heartbreaker.
It was a punch to the gut, you know, whatever you want to call it. Robert Ory's, of course. Derek Fisher. Remember Derek Fisher? You know, pre-coach Derek Fisher. That's what makes it exciting, though. And so many things have to go as planned, right? Because you don't have a lot of margin for error. You don't have time. It's the beauty of the buzzer beater. Like, you don't have time to get, like, a second chance. It's one and done. That's why what happened on Saturday with the Celtics was so improbable, and that's why it's crazy when you factor in what it enabled them to continue this just improbable quest to become the first team to erase a 3-0 deficit. That I'm watching the play again right now, as a matter of fact. Like, if that ball, if that rebound bounces, like, 2 inches in the other direction, they don't win the game. Because then White might not be able to even get a good grip on the ball to even get it back up and in. He almost have to give it, like, a fingertip on it to maybe, like, tip it back up. And then who knows if it's going in. That is when the basketball gods are clearly factoring into a game, a series, you name it. And if they allowed that to happen on Saturday, tell me how the Celtics don't win this game tonight. You know, I know the whole Stranger Things have happened type of stuff, but let's be real. Boston has to win this game tonight, right? There's no way Miami's getting up off the mat after what they've been through the last three games, especially on Saturday night. But maybe we'll be surprised once again. Anyway, we've done our job today. We had a lot of fun, but now I have to turn things over to my friend Ray because he is going to tell you exactly who the three stars of this whole production were.
Today's three stars, number three.
I learned a couple things today. One is that Aaron Rodgers, big Taylor Swift fan.
Yeah, oh, huge.
I'm a big fan.
So you're going to be there this weekend. Now, who do you go to Taylor Swift with?
I got some friends who are also big fans who are kind of in my age group, so we're go together. My favorite album is Folklore. My favorite song off that album is probably August.
Okay, he could have made all that up. I would totally believe him. Thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you, Adam
Schein.
Who
are we to fact check?
Number two.
Also learned that Will Ferrell is somehow going to play John Madden. Anytime that someone talks about John Madden, I always think of Frank Caliendo.
I mean, if you played a team from some other planet like Mars or Jupiter or, I don't know if those... If those planets even have players, but if they did have players, Brett Favre would be better than them. A guy who levitates.
That's right. Always comes back to Brett Favre. That's love. Every time I think of John Madden, I always think of the I told you during the break, like that incident where the Snickers bar popped out of Nate Newton's pocket in the middle of the game. And John Madden just lost his mind.
It's sad the younger fans have no idea of these type of things. That's what they missed out on.
It's truly fantastic.
Number one.
All right, I'm not going to botch this year. The saying is, all gave some gave all. Remember that we're forever indebted to the brave men and women who have served. Those that lost their lives protecting our freedoms, always pray for them, their families, and just remember that as you enjoy your Memorial Day. Great, great show. Great weekend. Everyone enjoy.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Great job, Raymond. Hey, thanks to Tom. And thanks to Ray as well. Thanks to everybody who called and tweeted. The guys will be back in tomorrow morning, but it was always fun to stop by whenever they invite me over. Love crashing the DNR household. So we have nothing left to do except a little Rule 76, Ray, right?
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's Dan. It's Ray. It's Tom. And
Taylor Swift
on 98.7 ESPN.
I'm a Swiftie.
Well, I know you're not.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.